Number 17, cougar hunting seasons and regulations. This is also a decision.
Okay, thank you again, Mr. Chair. I'll be presenting the cougar hunting seasons and regulations next. So basically, the cougar management plan objectives outlines that we'll manage for stable cougar populations in each PMU, and within that, we'll implement harvest guidelines that correspond stable cougar populations at the PMU level and implement harvest guidelines to maximize harvest, providing stable growth rates and age structure. So we're trying to basically do two things, provide opportunity for hunting and have stable cougar populations at the same time. So keeping that in mind as we go through this recommendation. The current season structure is basically there's an early season, September 1 through December 31st, where it's a general season. And at that time, there are no guidelines. People can harvest as many cougars in that time frame. Given that those with a license, each can harvest one cougar, but there are no guidelines to close seasons. Starting January 1st through April 30th, let me back up. The reason we do that is because most people at that time are hunting other species, and instead of we didn't want to put onerous regulations on them having to come back and report harvest and all that, and that's the reason we did it in that way, so seasons wouldn't close. Starting January 1st, when probably some of the better cougar hunting occurs, we do start the guidelines kick in, and at that time, seasons could close when they hit those guidelines. An illegal weapon can be used in both seasons. And then after January 1st, those guidelines that we were talking about, each PMU has a harvest guideline of 12 to 16%, excluding kittens. So those are 18-month and older cats. So it's starting January 1st. As I mentioned, guidelines are hit or exceeded, those units can be closed. And only recreational harvest counts towards those guidelines. So if we have any depredation or other take that doesn't include, it's not included in those guidelines. So we just set these guidelines last year, but we're revisiting them because, as you understand, last year there was a recommendation that was contested, and we recognized that there was a need to incorporate some uncertainty into the density estimate. And this also gives provides an opportunity for the commission to discuss different options. So cougar hunting structure, basically we hunt on 50 areas or PMUs throughout the state. And that map kind of depicts it. And underneath that map is the cougar habitat as well. So you can kind of see which PMUs have the highest amount of cougar habitat. So the way the harvest guidelines work is we generate a density estimate based on the statewide density of cougars and then multiply it by the habitat in those PMUs with that. And then basically that gives us a population estimate for that PMU, and then we apply a 12 to 16% harvest rate, which gives us the guideline. So these next few maps just kind of show what units have closed in the past year. So this is what units closed, 12, 13, 13, 14. There were 13 closures, 14, 15. There were only 8 units that closed. And then current season, 17 units have closed so far. And the season is still open until the end of April. So this graph basically shows harvest from 1979 to present with certain benchmarks that are shown with arrows, basically showing when certain seasons were available. There were some hound hunting, then hound hunting was outlawed, and then the new regulations where we started managing with PMUs with guidelines basically in 2012. And harvest really hasn't changed a whole lot. It's been, we've been harvesting between, at least in most recent years, between 150 and 200 animals. So our harvest guidelines basically were based on research that was conducted in Washington State. Many research areas throughout the state looking at different growth rates and densities of cougars in the state. And basically what we learned from those studies are two main take-home points. That basically we can safely harvest cougars at approximately 14%, which leaves us with a stable population. And then cougar density varies slightly across the state, but is roughly around 2.2 cougars per 100 kilometers squares. Again, that's not including kittens, so 18-month cougars and older. So to basically try to incorporate uncertainty into these estimates, we took each PMU and ran all of the studies that were done, did 50,000 iterations, randomly picking those, and basically came up with these histograms that show us, where most of the populations in the state fall. And most of them fall within that, 2.2 range. But there is the likelihood that some of them could fall outside that range, higher or lower. And that's where these options that we showed you in March, again, now you'll be basically picking one of them, show you that and option one basically falls within that median range, and then option two is further out. So it assumes that there's a higher population or density in that unit. So as I mentioned earlier, we're trying to maximize our hunting opportunity while maintaining these stable cougar populations, and basically this graph shows where the two intersect or where you would maximize both of those objectives. And for each PMU, one of these graphs was created, and that's how the number that appears in all of the tables it was generated. So basically this graph shows kind of that same PMU with the three options. The option that we're recommending is option one, which basically where those two lines intersect. And then as you move further to the right, you see there's more, there's options for harvesting more animals, but then the likelihood of meeting the objectives, population objectives decreases, but meeting the recreation objective increases. So there is a trade-off there. So our recommendation is no change to the season dates. Basically leave them September 1st through April 30th. And then January 1st is when the guidelines would kick in. Option one is to set guidelines at 12 to 16% of harvest rate based on the statewide density estimate approach, as I explained it. And then, again, there are other options. Option two, which basically adds one cougar to that guideline. So it just increases the harvest likelihood by one cougar in each PMU. And then option three adds two cougars to option one, which basically could possibly increase cougar harvest by two cougars in those PMUs. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Interesting. Mr. Rucker.
Thanks. On the so you just explained to us that the density doesn't vary much across the state, varies very slightly, right. You said, so therefore it's safe to just use a density constant across the state, and generally what we do, right? But then I've also heard you tell us that in Northeast the populations have been declining. So where does that information come from?
I guess I don't remember saying that the populations are declining in the Northeast. I'm not sure where that came from. Basically, densities could fluctuate in any area at any given time, given harvest. But
I thought I remember it in the context of being told that even though there's a perceived greater number of sightings.
Right.
That staff were of the opinion that cougar populations, or cougar density, maybe it was, in Northeast, was less than the statewide average.
Yeah.
Do you remember saying?
Yeah, I mean, there are areas in the Northeast that they are lower, but I don't think they're that much lower. So, I mean, we're in the range, I guess. So it's not that we have concerns that populations are declining anywhere in the state.
So, but if, what indicators would you use to determine whether there's increases in a particular area or decreases in cougar populations?
So the things we monitor are basically the sex and age of the animals that are taken, other than the density. So yeah, we're looking at you know, percentage of adult animals being female or male, and then subadult animals. So those things we are tracking at the same time as tracking total harvest, which tells us, you know, what's being taken off the landscape and what's the likely population look like from that harvest.
Mm. Okay, thanks.
I happened to see Rich Beausoleil, who did the presentation just earlier this week, and I'm not sure if this is addressing your question, but he did say that encounters are on the decline and are the lowest ever. That's human encounters. Reported encounters with cougar have been on the decline and are at the lowest point they've been.
Yeah, and I could clarify that a little bit. So the stuff that's reported is on a decline, although there is evidence that maybe, from talking to folks on the ground, that people aren't reporting things as much as they used to. So there may be more people seeing cougars, but fewer people are reporting them. So the two may be out of sync, and we're working currently to try to fix that issue. Why are people not reporting?
Right.
And so we are putting a group together to kind of look at that and try to deal with that separately. Obviously, you know, the issue we're dealing with here is the hunting part of it. The public safety part of it is also one that we want to work on very hard, and we are working on that as well.
Good.
One more follow-up, just to clarify.
Sure.
So counting cougars is basically out of the question. We can't
Correct.
Do that. Nobody does that across the West. It's
Right.
just too hard. They're too stealthy to have any hope of effectively counting them. So we have population estimate approaches that are used, and many states use them. I don't know if I remember to ask this during the Wildlife Committee meeting. I don't remember if I did, but there was an interesting study published in that last Mountain Lion Workshop proceeding about the use of conservation dogs to help detect the presence of DNA associated with different cougars as a population assessment approach. Are we contemplating anything other than what we're doing? Are we...
You know, there's probably more research that's taken place in Washington than many other states, and we're basing a lot of the recommendations we're making on that research. Yeah, there's always new methods coming out, and I think what you're talking about is the dogs that sniff the feces, and then they collect the feces and get DNA off of it.
Yeah.
You know, there's pluses and minuses to every methodology, mm-hmm. and the time commitment and the cost of it, you know, maybe prohibitive to do on an annual basis. So it would be just another research project that you would try to get a density estimate from. Again, everything you do has its drawbacks. So, no, I guess we're not contemplating doing that type of research here in Washington, provided we've done so much research so far looking at densities in different ways. You know, we've done biopsy, we've done all kinds of methodologies. So if that method does prove to be more effective in the future and more people are using it effectively, then yeah, it may be something we consider, but at this point we're not considering that.
Yeah. Sounds expensive to me.
Yeah.
Anyway, conservation dogs. Anyway.
Thank you, Chair.
I guess this is going to come into the comment more than the question, and there again, someone that lives where I live and does what I do, if you go around a room, it'd be fun to see how many people have actually seen a mountain lion in the wild. Mm-hmm. And there again, my occupation and what I do, I easily average seeing 4 mountain lions a year. I've already seen 2 this spring. So granted, I'm unique of where I live and what I do. And there again, this has been an ongoing thing. And at our wildlife committee last night, Miss Miranda, as usual, came up with a very good thing. We need to separate hunting from public safety. I had 4 mountain lions hanging around really close to my place, and there for about 2 weeks. Every time I'd come home, there was another call on my answer machine. There was a mountain lion run across the road, right by my house. Right. Yes, if I'd had young kids around there, I'd have been a very unhappy camper. So I've got me a dog now, so we can keep, that helps keep them run back a little bit. But I think that's the big trick, is separate the hunting. We'll do the hunting one way and maybe be a little more proactive about, yeah, if a lion goes across somebody's yard, yeah, it did. But if it starts showing up, and back to the point of reporting, yeah, people don't report a lot of things that they see because they get frustrated when nothing can be done. And there again, if we can get as a department, if we're having issues, people can come out, and I don't know what we're going to do. If we can work through and get a pursuit deal where we can just roust them around a little bit, no harm, no foul, we're not going to kill them unless they become a problem and stuff like that. But I think that's some avenues. And we heard this last time in Moses Lake. People are seeing them filling game cams up with pictures of mountain lions. And if that's something that is happening, I think we need to try and do our best to address those situations and give people a little, at least, that we are concerned of their public safety, and hopefully start dealing with some of this stuff before we have dead animals and people being scared to go out and let their kids go out and play in the yards and things like that. So I think that would be the way to approach this and keep the two distinctly apart. And then hopefully, and I know you said we want to focus in Northeast, and yeah, that's where we probably want to put some focus, but I still think, because our area, throughout the last 4 years, we tagged out the 1st of July, or 1st of January, and there's other places in the state. So I just hope we can kind of go that way and keep everybody happy on both sides and split the two and try and get a little proactive on this deal so people aren't coming like they did to Moses Lake being really concerned and seems as though it's falling on deaf ears with us. Thank you.
I don't want to preempt other members of the commission having an opportunity to say something, but I was asked by the Wildlife Committee of the commission to speak for the committee on this topic. So if everybody is ready to hear the recommendation of the Wildlife Committee, yeah? Or,
yep.
Okay. As Commissioner Holzmiller mentioned, we did reach a consensus that among committee members that we should keep hunting guidelines decisions separate from the activities of the department in addressing public safety concerns and depredation concerns. So we are not going to recommend using hunting guidelines as a way to address conflicts. So we are going to recommend adoption of option 1, as proposed by staff. And I just wanted to speak a little bit to the other piece of it, the way in which the department does address public safety concerns and property interests, depredation problems. This is where I think we have tried mightily over the years. We've discussed various ways to improve the way people call in reports, make it streamlined, make it easy, call local officials. We've tried various things, and I don't think we've gotten that perfect formula yet. Because I do believe people are not reporting. I think that that's real. But we need, I think there's agreement, there's consensus among the Wildlife Committee that we have to up our game on that front. We need to find better ways to address the fear that people have. And one thing we talked about yesterday that we all agreed is a productive line of approach would be the same kind of conflict transformation approach that Francine Madden is helping us with wolves, in which stakeholders are challenged to come up with practical ideas. Department's very engaged in making sure that those are truly acceptable to us, but the idea would be to use some of the people or enlist some of the people who have already gotten the training through the WAG process who are interested in applying some of the same approaches to conflict resolution to the cougar situation. To cougar conflicts. And there's a little subgroup that has been kind of discussing this in an informal way to explore what might be done. We talked about the importance of it having real authenticity and legitimacy to the local people. I promoted the idea last night at our Wildlife Committee meeting that we should focus first on Northeast because that's where the most intense resource conflicts are. That's where the most intense conflicts are over wolves because that's where most of the packs are, and it's spilling over into a lot of natural resource issues. So I suggested that we at least, at minimum, focus a lot of attention on figuring out what's practical, what's acceptable, and listen to local stakeholders so they do feel listened to. So I'm bringing that up because although we do want to endorse option one and see that approved by the full commission, there is this other piece of it that we take seriously. We would like to see some progress made, figuring out how to improve the reporting and see that rebuilding of trust, that lowering of levels of distrust. And one final point that I would make, I think my colleagues agree with, is that it's way too late for false promises, empty promises, hollow promises. Whatever we say we're going to do, we better be able to do. Because you've giving people platitudes or assurances without any ability to follow through will make matters worse, I think. So any other committee members want to add?
I think Miranda said everything really well that we discussed in the committee meeting, and I think one of the other things that I could add would be that, you know, every predator is different, and everybody's take on the different predators and their threat to livestock, their threat to pets, their threat to humans, you know, it's different. There are different animals. I think a lot of people have a lot of respect for cougars and the potential they can cause with problems with livestock or pets, or, you know, they're a stealth predator, so they're a little different than, say, wolves or grizzlies or coyotes or anything else. So I think also, though, that people want to hear that if there are problems, and you mentioned this, that you're, we as a state organization in wildlife are looking at solutions. We're trying to, and it doesn't always mean having to kill the cougars. It could end up with that, but it could also mean, you know, pursuing them some. It could be a variety of things that could maybe work to avoid problems with cougars, and yet just seeing a cougar isn't necessarily a problem. You know, like Jay said, it's on your crosses your yard once, that was a sighting. If it takes your dog, you're now in the area of problems. And so that was real clear that, and we heard that in a lot of testimony, you know, don't leave us hanging out here. And I think it was also clear that hunting isn't necessarily the way to solve cougar problems. You know, hunting, there's an opportunity there, and we know what the science is telling us to do there. So, yeah, I think Miranda covered everything pretty darn well.
I want to also clarify that, extending what Commissioner Keeney just said, when we discussed yesterday applying the same conflict transformation process, it was also conditioned on understanding the difference. We're not asking for the same flow chart of steps before cougars can be removed that you see with wolves. We recognize there's a difference in the danger posed by cougars versus the risk to public safety, to individual safety posed by wolves versus cougars. So it was not to suggest that we're going to have this whole big process about determining steps and lethal removal protocols. What we'd like to see is the same sort of human engagement of diverse stakeholders to try to figure out this problem. That's what we're talking about.
Thank you, Chair. And just to reiterate what Miranda just said, and going back to Dave said reports, why would you call the game department if you saw a mountain lion? Nothing's going to get done. So we need to break that cycle. And without the hollow promises, keep expectations where they're, you know, we're not, just because you saw a mountain lion doesn't mean we're going to come out and whack the thing. But yes, if you're having problems, we will deal with it. And the utmost, what she said, make certain that we say what we mean and mean what we say. And I'm a big believer in Francine's thing. Respect people on both sides of the aisle and try and come up with a workable thing. And then we need to get that down through, not just you guys up in the upper end understand this, but we need to get this all the way down through the department. And hopefully can get some buy-in from some of the local staff that, you know, we're there to serve the people and address their concerns. And hopefully we can work through this, because we do have a lot of stormy waters ahead of us in other parts of the state. And I know we're talking about mountain lions here, but we've got wolves, and it is going to be a concern of people in these rural areas. When you have both of these major predators coming in, and whether it's real or perceived, I'll assure you it is perceived. So, thank you.
And just one more thing I forgot to say is I didn't come up with this idea of separating. I mentioned that I didn't like the idea. I think it's time to do this approach, but it was not my idea. I mean, if staff proposed a separation of the hunting guidelines from the actions taken for conflict. So thanks for the credit, but it wasn't me that came up with the idea. But I'll make the motion.
Okay.
I move to amend WAC 232-28-297 using the department recommended option one.
Any further motions been made and seconded? Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say yes.
Yes.
All those opposed, say no. Thank you. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Can I say something briefly?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, we just finished the wildlife section, and hey, Nate, before you take off, I just wanted us all to acknowledge the excellent work that Nate has done for the last several years as the Assistant Director of the Wildlife Program. The program staff have done a fabulous job since I've been here, and I know that that's been the history of the program under your leadership. And I just wanted to thank you so much for everything you've done and how you've developed the program. And Nate's changing things up a little bit, but I know where he sits, and I'm already excited to have him working on some interesting things that we have in the licensing world. And anyway, Nate, just thank you so much for all the excellent work you've done and where you brought the program.
Whenever we're here for commission meetings, please come in, say hi. And if you want, you can come up and sit at the front, too, and we'll yell at you. Just like the old days. We don't want you to get lonely.
Thank you, Nate.
Thanks, Nate.